All this week, we've been exploring and reflecting on the ways in which the war on drugs has affected our country. It has been 50 years since President Nixon launched his aggressive strategy to crack down on drug use and addiction, sending a disproportionate number of people of color to prison. Two communities in particular, Huntington, West Virginia, and Brownsville, New York, have found themselves on the front lines of this war. And NPR's addiction correspondent Brian Mann went to both places to hear how people there are dealing with the impact. Brian, welcome.
Thank you, Peter.
So you met two very different people in these very different places, and both have felt the impact of the war on drugs. Tell us about who they are and what you learned about the way addiction has changed their lives.
Yeah, these were two people who were generous enough to kind of take me inside their communities, which, as you mentioned, were hit really hard. Aaron Hinton is a community organizer in Brownsville. It's a predominantly black community in New York City. Aaron lost his own mother to a drug overdose in 2017.
You never really get over it, you know, so it is kind of difficult to deal with, but you just find a way to deal with it and you just keep going.
And this has happened so often in his community. And the other person who I got to know as part of this reporting is Courtney Hessler. She's a journalist with a local newspaper in West Virginia. Her mother has struggled with opioid addiction. It ravaged her family. Courtney herself wound up in foster care as a child.
I was just mad all the time and just constantly just going, living my life just from a place of hate. And there was a point where I said, okay, there's something wrong with me. I really need to get help.
And so really, Peter, what these two, again, were generous enough to do is take me inside their own lives, the way their families have been affected by drug policy and by addiction, and also to kind of walk me through the wider impacts in their towns and in their neighborhoods.
So, right, those are individuals. What about Brownsville and Huntington? What were some of the similarities and differences that you found when you compared what these drug war policies have done?
Yeah. Well, you know, what's really interesting, Peter, is that we spent hundreds of billions of dollars arming whole new armies of police, federal agents, creating whole new bureaucracies that were designed to protect people from addiction, from illicit drugs. And these two communities found that those efforts just simply didn't work. And in fact, they wound up in many cases doing more harm than good in, as you note, in very different ways. You know, Huntington, West Virginia is sort of ground zero of the opioid epidemic. The Drug Enforcement Administration documents show they allowed tens of millions of prescription painkillers to flow into this community. And that has devastated people there. Brownsville, meanwhile, this much more black African-American community, the main impact there has been these astonishingly high rates of incarceration. Everyone you talk to there has been in prison, has a family member who's been in prison. It's a normal part of life there, largely because of these policy decisions around addiction.
So I hear you saying that there may be some acknowledgement from people who live in these places that the war on drug policies didn't work, right? But I guess the question is, has anything been done since to rectify it?
I think there have been significant policy changes. Everybody I speak to says, you know, look, the war on drugs is still ongoing. It's still happening. The Biden administration has asked for more money for drug interdiction and for drug fighting than ever before in this next year's budget. But that said, you know, there is a shift in these communities to healthcare. There is a shift to treatment. There is much more money and investment for those kinds of things. The federal government has sharply curtailed the flow of those prescription drugs to pharmacies in places like Huntington. That's a major difference. And then, you know, one other thing, Peter, that has really happened that is dramatic is that many of the harshest drug era laws have been repealed. That means far fewer people going to prison from places like Brownsville, and people in those communities describe that as a huge relief.
So change is coming or has been happening, but I think it's fair to say that communities that have been impacted by this war on drugs are often written off as lost causes and that they don't have a chance or that they can't bounce back. You know, when you spoke with Courtney and Aaron, what did they tell you about that, how they're feeling about the future?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because when you go to these communities that are often described in popular literature or in movies, TV series as just sort of dead places, places that are, you know, junkies on the street, people leaning in street corners, you know, often the popular culture does write them off. And people in these places say they felt abandoned. But these are pretty cool communities. I mean, you walk around in Brownsville and there's, you know, shops open and people selling stuff and people taking their kids to school. There are beautiful little parks and organic gardens. And Huntington is this beautiful small southern city along the shore, the bank of the Ohio River. And people in these towns, Courtney and Aaron for sure, but lots of other people I spoke to, they say, no, you know, we have a future. There is a way for us to heal. Nobody I spoke to thinks that that's going to happen fast. There is deep harm, deep scars. There remains very high levels of poverty. You know, some of the original sort of things that led to this opening for drug addiction, high unemployment, poverty, those things still remain. And so, you know, there are many hurdles here, but these are communities that say, we demand help. We really believe that we can have a future.
Well, this is part of a series we have been covering all week on NPR. NPR's addiction correspondent, Brian Mann, thank you very much for your reporting. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, Peter.